I hope you enjoyed that. Thank you. Pentecost Sunday, Pentecost means 50. And it was 50 days from the resurrection to Pentecost. And that's when the church was born. So happy birthday, church. We are several thousand years old now, and you're looking good for your age. Just thought I'd let you know that. And it's a joy to be with you on this Pentecost Sunday. I want to speak with you. I told our church back at the first of the year that ever so often I'd be bringing a message on Joseph. And we would visit him, and we followed him all the way through his life. Now we're to the place where he's in prison. And it's a difficult time in his life, just as it's a difficult time in our life. And I'd like to speak to you today on from the prison to the palace. Because some of us feel like that we've been in prisons before. There's many different kinds of prisons. There's prisons of thought, prisons of finances, prisons of job, difficult marriages, all sorts of different prisons. But there is a palace. Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you can be with me. And believe me, Jesus doesn't make any junk. It's going to be beautiful. Genesis chapter 41, verses 1 through 8. We read, when two full years had passed. This 2 years was from the time that Joseph interpreted the dream of the baker and the butler. We don't know how long he was there before that, but he'd been in prison for a pretty good while now, and we know that it's been 2 years since the butler and the baker had their dreams, and the butler was restored, the baker was killed by Pharaoh. So when two full years had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing by the Nile when out of the river there came up 7 cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows, ugly and gaunt. They came up out of the Nile and stood beside those on the riverbank. And the cows that were ugly and gaunt ate up the 7 sleek, fat cows. Then Pharaoh woke up. He fell asleep again, and he had a second dream. There were 7 heads of grain, healthy and good. They were growing in a single stalk. After them, 7 other heads of grain sprouted, thin and scorched of the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the 7 healthy, full heads of grain. Then Pharaoh woke up. Don't you just hate it whenever you're having a dream and you're wanting to find out what's going to happen and you wake up? There's Pharaoh. He woke up the second time. It had been a dream. In the morning, his mind was troubled. So he sent for all the magicians and the wise men of Egypt. And Pharaoh told them his dream. But no one could interpret them for him. All through the pages of God's Word, scattered from front to back. God has heroes. Those men and women that stand tall for Him. They come in various sizes and shapes and genders and occupations and time spans. Usually, they're very normal people, much like us. But they were touched by God to do something greater than themselves. From time to time, God offers opportunities for me and you to step beyond our abilities and do something wonderful and great for Him. Today, we often look in the wrong places for our heroes. We look to Hollywood or sports or different places like that to decide who's going to be our heroes and who won't. A hero is someone who does something sacrificial, according to Webster. Something courageous. There are heroes today. Yes, there are. There are many of them. We saw many of them in action on 9/11. Our first responders that ran into the buildings when everybody else was running out. They're heroes. Those who every day put their lives on the line. Law enforcement, firemen, medical workers. But often today's heroes are those men and women like me and you who work behind the scenes and we never know about them. But God knows and heaven knows. As we look at the heroes of faith, those in Scripture and those in contemporary history that God has put His hand on, one thing stands out. It seems that always God goes out of His way to find individuals who do not necessarily look or act like heroes. I mean, He found Gideon hiding from the Midianites. He found David attending sheep on a hillside. Doesn't sound too much like heroes, but that's the ones that God put His finger on. And it's that point of Him putting His finger on, that precise point that we change. Something happens down inside of us. You see, God is not looking for a strong man or strong woman per se. He's looking for someone who will walk humbly and obediently before Him. Somebody that will obey Him. Somebody that will be faithful to Him. Those are the ones that He's looking for to be heroes. He found that in Joseph. Very early in life, Joseph was kind of set aside by the Lord. And when we last saw Joseph, he was languishing in an Egyptian prison. He was in prison not because he had broken any laws. He was in prison because he had done what was right. And he honored God with his life. He was in prison because he refused the advances of a very wicked woman. He said no. He said, I can't do such a thing to my God. When we last saw Joseph, he was in a place of tremendous hardship, but he was faithfully serving God. He was a man who had his priorities straight. Wherever Joseph was in his life, he could be counted on to be faithful. Faithful to God. Faithful to what he stood for. When we last saw Joseph, Joseph was eagerly waiting a visit from the outside of the prison. In chapter 40, verses 9 through 13, Joseph had interpreted a dream from Pharaoh's chief butler. And when he told the butler what his dream was meaning, the interpretation of it, he asked the butler something very strange. He said, would you, when you're released from prison, would you remember me and give me some help? Mention me to Pharaoh. But when the butler got out, was released from prison, he immediately forgot all about Joseph. Joseph didn't mean anything to him anymore because he was free. How often you and I make promises to God, and how often we call on God and God helps us and gets us out of a mess. And as soon as we're out of the mess, we forget all about what God has done. And we go right back to our same old ways. That happens over and over. Friend, that's what happened to Joseph. When the butler got out, he walked away. He was free. He forgot Joseph. In our text today, we see that Joseph, for 2 long years, had been waiting to hear, waiting for some help to arrive, waiting for freedom to come his way. In our text today, we're going to see that freedom come to him. We're going to see Joseph delivered from the prison and placed in the palace. We're going to see the unseen hand of God at work in a man's life. We're going to see God do exploits, pull strings, give providence into an individual's life. And what he does for one, he'll do for others, because he's no respecter of persons. We're also going to see what the Lord did for Joseph. Understand, he will do it for you. He'll do it for me. He knows exactly where you live. I know that it might surprise some of you that God knows your address. He knows your telephone number. He knows how to text you. He even knows how to Twitter and Snap Jack or whatever it is. I don't know. He understands all of those things. He knows about you. He knows how to bring you out of your prisons and place you in a palace. He knows exactly what we need. So let's join Joseph again and notice the circumstances that God uses. You want to know something that's shouting territory? God will create a circumstance for you. You might be in a situation, but God will create a circumstance. And a circumstance can get you out of that situation. So I like a God who controls circumstances. And we serve one. Notice the circumstance that God uses to move Joseph from that prison to the palace in a matter of hours. Unbelievable. We call it providence. There is a providence of God. And in verse 14 and 15 of Genesis 41, we read, so Joseph, or Pharaoh, sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, because I imagine he had a stink on him, he came before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I've heard it said that you, when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Now, anyone looking at Joseph's life right at this moment, they're going to think, and it's going to seem, that God had forgotten all about him and just left him alone. You see, he's a faithful servant of the Lord, but he's in prison. He's doing time for a crime he did not commit. He was absolutely, totally innocent. But it only looks like God has forsaken him. God has not forsaken him. He never forsakes those that are his. He's always working behind the scenes, doing things, creating circumstances. He was doing that in this situation. He was working behind the scenes, creating everything perfectly and in place for his eternal purpose to be brought about. And God uses three amazing turns of events to bring about Joseph's release from prison. So there's days of providence. So we're going to call this point A, providential delays, because he has to wait till the time is right. When 2 full years had passed, verse 1, we're told that Joseph was waiting in prison for all of this length of time, hoping every day. He hadn't lost hope yet, but believing that any day that cell door was going to open and he was going to be set free. After the butler was released, hope rose up in his heart. Don't ever give up hope. Hope is yours. And we can trust the Lord. We can hope in the Lord. We're not told how long he was there before this. We just know how long he was there after this. And God uses those long, grinding years in the prison. They wasn't just wasteful years. God uses those years to teach Joseph patience and dependence. Patience is tough for us. Sometimes it takes a long time to teach us patience. But God was busy teaching patience and dependence. Sometimes God will take you like he took Joseph. He took Joseph and he put him in a waiting room. And he said, stay here until the time is right. That waiting room just happened to be a prison. There's times when God puts you and me in a waiting room, off to the side. But it's not a time of idleness and waste. He's always using that to teach us and show us something, just as he was doing with Joseph. There were some valuable lessons that needed to be learned. And if Joseph was in the thick of things, he would have never learned those. He wouldn't have been fit for the palace had he not been in the prison. So God was preparing him to rule. I know that seems strange. But God taught Joseph during his time in the prison to wait on God and to trust God in spite of every situation. I don't know if God's ever put you aside in a waiting room of life. I'm talking about a time when the Lord seems to have forgotten your address. I'm talking about those times when it seems like your prayers doesn't even make it to the ceiling and they're not being answered and maybe not even being heard as far as your understanding is. Nothing's going like you want it to go. Nothing that you plan turns out right. It seems that God's not interested in you and your situation anymore. And things are falling apart. Providential delays are never easy. But they're designed to focus our faith. They're designed to increase our dependence on God. So something's happening even during these lulls. You and I are learning and God is teaching. And God is preparing us for the future. Prepare well. Because how well you prepare will make a dependence on what's coming after. And if you're not prepared for it, then God can't put you in it until you are. So allow the Holy Spirit to prepare your heart, to prepare your life for what God has in store for you. You say, well, I'm 83 years old. I don't care if you're 109. You may still have a baby. Didn't we sing just a few minutes ago? Nothing is impossible. Hang on to your hat, Margaret. God uses those times to prepare us. I'm not saying he's preparing you for that, but you'd need a lot of preparing, I guarantee you. But God is focusing our faith on him. He's bringing us to the place where we can trust him and we can see him. Never more than at this particular time do we need that focus of faith. Facing what we've faced over the last several months, a shutdown of almost all business, people being laid off and people dying. And now on top of that, turmoil in all of our cities, in Charlotte, in Columbia, of course, Los Angeles and New York and Chicago, Milwaukee. I don't have a problem with the protests. What happened seems to have been totally wrong. Should not have happened. Should not have taken place. But what's happening now shouldn't be taking place either. Innocent people having their businesses burned, their homes destroyed. If ever you and I needed a focus of faith, it's right now. We need to pray for our country. We need to pray for one another. We need to lift each other up. We need to pray for peace. When my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and call on my name, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land, he says. You and I need our faith focused more than ever before. You see, what God did for the time to be right for Joseph to come out, he had learned what he needed to learn. The providential delay had taken place. Now there were some providential dreams that were given in the last half of this first verse. It says in verse 8, in the morning his mind was troubled. See, that last half of the first verse says, and Pharaoh dreamed a dream. Now it's saying that dream troubled him. So he sent for all the magicians and the wise men of Egypt, and Pharaoh told his dream to them, but no one could interpret those dreams for Pharaoh. The time was right. The moment was there. All that God had been working for was being brought to a head. Pharaoh's dream had caused him so much trouble in his mind. They caused him great concern. He couldn't shake it. That word that's used here says trouble of mind. That word has the idea with it that he was disturbed and greatly distressed. It was one of those walk the floor moments. One of those worry moments. So much so that it upsets your stomach. In other words, miserable. And Pharaoh was absolutely miserable because of those dreams that he had had. So he called for the wise men. These guys were supposed to be able to communicate with the gods of Egypt and then share with Pharaoh the counsel of those gods. But their mind was blank. They could not interpret the dreams either. They didn't know what they meant. They couldn't see the understanding of them. And it appears that God closed their minds and caused them to draw a blank. They couldn't even make something up. Their mind was blank. I mean, I know for sure that these wise men, that's Lewis' interpretation of it, translation, they would always tell Pharaoh something that the gods were saying, and they always tried to make it good. They probably ventured a guess or made up a lie. Something to silence and appease Pharaoh with. Because to be a counselor in that day, without counsel, that was a dangerous thing. That'd get your head lopped off. Kind of reminds you of Daniel chapter 2, when Nebuchadnezzar had his dreams. In Daniel 2, 1 through 13, it says, in the second year, the reign of Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled. Sound a lot like Pharaoh. He could not sleep. Sounds a whole lot like Pharaoh. So the king summons the magicians and the enchanters and the sorcerers and the astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, I had a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means. Then the astrologers answered the king, May the king live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will interpret it. Nebuchadnezzar was a smart dude. He replied to the astrologers, This is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me my dream and interpret it, I'm going to have you cut to pieces and your houses turned into piles of rubble. That's pretty strong. The astrologers answered the king, There is no one on earth who can do what the king is asking. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they don't live among humans. Pharaoh was right there. He had happened to him what Nebuchadnezzar many years later had happened to him. God was at work with Pharaoh just as God was at work with Nebuchadnezzar. God always has a man or a woman in a waiting room that he can call on for just such a time as this. Remember Esther? Who knows but that you've come to the kingdom for just such a time as this? God always has somebody. That somebody might be you. This providential work of God in Joseph's life, God sent that dream to Pharaoh, and he also sent the blank mind to Pharaoh's counselors, because God was working behind the scene to accomplish his eternal plan. God had a plan that would affect eternity, and he was bringing it about right on time. I don't know about you, but that thought blesses my heart. Knowing that many years ago, God had eternity in mind. He had me and you and all his children and heaven itself in mind. And he says, I'm going to make this thing work. And he was preparing. And he had somebody prepared. Somebody named Joseph. So Pharaoh and his men thought that they were in control, that they had everything under control. But in truth, it was God who was in control. And it was God who had all things under control, even the heart of the king himself. Proverbs chapter 21 verse 1 says, The king's heart is like a stream of water directed by the Lord. He guides it wherever he pleases. So not only was God preparing Joseph in prison, God was preparing Pharaoh on the throne, so that the need could be met. But the need had to be there. That ought to give you hope today. It seems like God stepped off the stage, and that Satan's been freed to bring all kind of hell against us. Sicknesses, and now riots and turmoil and injustice. God's very much in control. He hasn't lost that much control. He is sovereign over all things. All things were made by Him, and all things exist in Him, and everything lives and breathes in Him. The King rules at the pleasure of God. So the Lord is over everything, even the king's heart. We don't need to worry, because God's purposes are going to be done. They will not be hindered. Not by a Democrat, not by a Republican, not by a China, not by Russia, not by Syria. God's timing and His purpose will be perfect. I don't care who is on the stage. God knows how to wipe them off. He will accomplish His purpose in this world perfectly. Rest assured of that. Before leaving this thought, I've got a minute and a half or so. Doesn't matter, but just thought I'd tell you that. Before leaving this thought, I want to mention something else. Something that I mentioned a long time ago when I was preaching on dreams. Every dream you have does not necessarily come from God. God doesn't talk to us in every dream. Sometimes we ate too much pizza or collard greens or bacon or something. Sometimes there's other other reasonings for the dreams that we have. If you need something from God, don't depend on a dream. Depend on His Word. Because His Word speaks clear. The Bible is superior to any dream that you'll ever have. Any vision that you ever see. God's Word is true. This Bible speaks on many subjects. Dreams are usually on one subject, very limited, and they're only known to the dreamer unless God reveals it. The Bible is much more trustworthy. The Bible has absolute authority. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will never pass away. It'll stand for all of eternity. The Bible is certain and fixed. Never fade away. But dreams, sometimes after 3 or 4 days, you can't remember them. And the older you get, the harder time you have remembering them. And you even forget you dreamed. So not only do you forget the dream, you forgot that you did dream. You don't even remember sleeping. Or I don't, anyway. There's a providential deliverance that's taken place. The chief butler, as all of this was going on, suddenly he shakes himself awake and he comes to himself, and the cobwebs leave his mind. And he remembers prison and Joseph. And he tells the story of Joseph to Pharaoh, what he did in prison, and how it happened, and what the result was. The hand of God is seen in this sequence of events. Joseph very quickly is brought to Pharaoh. But he's only brought to him when Pharaoh is in a place of desperation. It took 2 years for Joseph to be ready. And a part of that 2 years for Pharaoh to get desperate. And God sent him those dreams to make him desperate. Any other day, and that powerful ruler, that monarch of basically the world, he would have never listened to anything that a prisoner had to say. He wouldn't have given a prisoner the time of day, but he was desperate. He said, go get that guy and bring him to me. On this day, he had no choice. He wanted to hear what Joseph had to say. He needed an answer. His mind was troubled. His heart was troubled. And he was willing to listen to anybody that could give him answers. You and I need to remember that our God operates the universe. The universe, all that we see, all that we know. It's amazing to me that the space shot happened yesterday, and this morning at 10 o'clock they finally made it up to the space station, and I guess they docked with it. I don't know. They were supposed to. You say, man, is wonderful to be able to find that out and plan that out. No, God is wonderful that he devised it in the first place. Because before man even knew what numbers were, God already had everything on a timetable going perfectly. He had already worked it out. He says, one day some spaceship might need to find another one, and they need accuracy. So God created accuracy. Everything moves and breathes and has its being in him. From the orbit of the tiniest parts of the atoms that make up your body, that make up everything, the chair that you're sitting on, the air that we breathe. All of it swirling together. The great movements of the galaxies, all of that's been set in order by God. And everything is right on time. Pharaoh had his dream. Pharaoh's heart was troubled. Joseph was ready, sitting in prison. Everything was right on time. When did Jesus come to his disciples? When they were on the water during the storm. At the moment they thought they were going to die, here comes Jesus walking across the waves. When did Jesus show up at the tomb of Lazarus? He'd been dead 3 days, but he was right on time, because it was time for Lazarus to wake up. When did Jesus arrive at the house of Jairus? He was right on time. Oh no, that girl's dead. Nah. She's fixing to get up. When did Jesus pass through that little town of Nain? Just before that mama got her boy to the tomb. When did Jesus take a rest at Jacob's well? Just as a lady who had had five husbands that was going to be a great evangelist happened to walk out of the city bringing her jars to fill them up with water. When did Jesus go to Calvary? When everything appointed of God was right on time. When did Jesus rise from the dead? When you and I were desperate for Him. And we needed that life that He had. When did Jesus step into your life? Change your heart. Change your soul. You might be sitting here right now or watching. When's Jesus going to move that mountain that's in my way? When's Jesus going to solve this problem that I've got? When is He going to meet my need? When is He going to deliver me from my prison? I got good news. He's right on time. He's never late. He's not going to be 1 second early, and He's not going to be 1 second late. He's going to be right on time. How awesome is that? I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what's going on in your heart, but God does. I don't know what's going on in your life, but God does. If you'll call on Him, He'll meet that need. He'll do for you what nobody else can do. I used to love watching Saturday morning television when the reels would come on or the cartoons would come on, and I love that moment when the hero was in a desperate situation and you would hear and the Calvary was coming. God is better than the Calvary. He'll get you out of your mess. He's got answers. He's got help. But you need to call on Him. If things are desperate in your life, would you just say this little prayer with me? So let's bow our heads together. Jesus, this man just said that You would help me. I need Your help. Jesus, would You step into my situation right now? And would You touch my heart? Would You touch my life, my family, my situation? Would You bring an answer to something that there seems to be no answer? I sure need Your help, Jesus. Would You help me? I want to serve You. I need some change. I want to walk with You. I don't understand. But I need you. Would you help me? I sure would appreciate it. Thank you, Jesus, for everything. Now, Father, you know those that prayed that prayer. And I'm believing that there's several. So, Holy Spirit, would you go and just make Jesus real to them right now? Bring your help. Bring your hope. Bring your comfort. During this troubled time in which we live. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can I just tell you how much I appreciate your being here today? See you next week. Love you.